On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Audio Whiplash, and we're going to do something a little different today. We have an all-new voice in the studio. We had to get this podcast started right when we did because I was starting to lose her focus as she was looking at pictures of my niece here in the studio, so we had to get going. We have Amy Burke in studio. She's a member of the Canadian Paralympic team, a two-time Paralympian, multiple-time national champion, multiple-time national championship MVP, a world champion, a mother, a wife, a Jerome Iginla fanatic, and a sugared cereal enthusiast. Did I pretty much cover everything, Amy?
You kind of missed out the Big Macs, but okay. pretty much nailed it.
And we will get into that a little later. I know you do have a post-major competition tradition of, you know, maybe a Big Mac to celebrate being done with whatever you're working on. So I wanted to have you on, but I wanted to skip some of the things that happen in the normal or the typical sports interview. There's a ton of cliched questions out there that I'm sure you've been asked, and a ton of cliched answers I'm sure you've given. I would like, with your blessing, just to get these out of the way quickly, to ask and answer them on your behalf.
You are my favorite person.
Okay.
You have no idea how happy that makes a person. Like, by all means, the floor is yours.
All right. What does it feel like to wear that maple leaf on your chest? It's an honor. What's it going to be like to compete at home at the Parapan Am Games on home soil? It's going to be great. What kind of impact does your vision have on your training? It makes some things a little harder. How'd I do? Not bad? Pretty good?
I'd say in a nutshell. You might have missed out the word awesome here or there, but okay. Other than that, dead on.
So cards on the table. Amy and I have known each other a long time. Friends outside of this. I've had the privilege of watching her career for quite some time now. You know, like I said, a couple of times, a Paralympian. You know, all these other sorts of honors and things that you've had the opportunity to do. The most recent one, perhaps not something that everyone is aware of. You took a year off recently. What happened there?
Well, I decided, and actually it wasn't just me deciding, but Tyler and I decided that we were going to try and have a baby. And sure enough, it happened.
Now, for people who don't know Tyler, is that some random guy you met on the street or?
No. He is my husband. And when we didn't qualify for Worlds, we decided if we were going to have a baby, now would be the perfect time to try. As then I'd be able to take the year off and then hopefully help the team qualify and then go to Rio and then yada, yada, yada.
Right. Carry on with life sort of thing.
Exactly.
What was that, the year that you took off, what was it like? Did you find that, because you've been doing this since, what was your first, 05 on the national team?
Yes.
Yeah. So almost a decade running straight of doing these competitions and traveling all over the world and whatever. While you were off, were you missing it and itching to get right back at it and wanting to be out there with your teammates? Or was it kind of, maybe this isn't such a bad time to just take a year off, recharge a little? I mean, obviously, you weren't really relaxing all that much as you had, you know, a life growing inside of you.
An alien growing inside of me.
But, you know, what was that year like for you?
You know what? At times it sucked. Like, hands down, when the teams were gone to tournaments, more so the Ontario team, it sucked balls. But to just take that break, the body does, well, I mean, my body wasn't getting much of a break, let's be honest. But it was nice. Like, it was nice to take a step back to realize this is something I do want to do. I like this. This is a huge part of my life that I'm not ready to give up yet because there was that thought after London.
Right.
And yeah, no, I missed it. But it was a huge eye-opener to be like, I'm not done yet.
Right. And so I guess we haven't covered this yet, and that's my fault. For people who don't know, you have albinism.
I do.
And you compete in the sport of goalball.
Yes, I do.
To circle back to these cliched questions that I've asked, if people want to see you answer them, your name is all over YouTube. It's all over Google. There's other interviews you've done where you can see those sorts of questions. And the sport of goalball, you know, we'll explain quickly, but it's a sport for the visually impaired. You play the position of center. Everyone plays under an eye shade, and basically you're trying to throw a ball past the other team at the other end of the court. And again, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but, you know, just because that information is out there in other places, you can YouTube Paralympic goalball anywhere, and you can see Amy play for Team Canada and these sorts of things. But talk to me maybe a little bit about your game specifically. Obviously, like a lot of sports, maybe the shots aren't quite as hard as in the men's game, which makes it a little more, makes defense that much more important because you may not outscore your mistakes. Talk a little about your game as a center.
Well, I'm a bit of a, not so much a traditional center. Traditional centers basically focus on defense most of the time, but I am, I'm unique. And awesome.
So.
And awesome. Well, yeah, I'm unique in like a million other ways.
Right.
But part of my game too is I'm an offensive player. So I get to, not only does the center like kind of run, not run the show necessarily, but like kind of.
You're quarterbacking it.
Basically, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so not only do I get the awesome advantages of defense.
Right.
I get to score those sweet goals here and there, which, quite frankly, is pretty awesome.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, and you know what? Get to try out some wing action in Toronto, which I think is going to be amazing. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be a bit of a change, but right. I mean, you know what? Whatever I need to do, whatever people want me to do.
So what happened there? You are, as you said, most centers in your sport don't throw a great deal, don't score a great deal. Is it more that you kind of, those centers don't have as great of a shot because they don't throw that often? Or is it the other way around that maybe your best defensive player isn't always the best shooter and so they get put in those positions? Like, how did you end up in the middle despite having that offensive capability?
I ended up, so I'm originally from PEI.
Right.
And, I was playing with the team there, and they had a national team player that had a good chucker. So they were like, you know what? We need a center. Stick you in the middle.
How old would you have been at that point?
I was 13.
Unreal.
12, actually, when I first saw it and was like, you know what? This is fucking messed. I'm not going to just throw myself in front of a ball for you to throw it at me.
Right.
But I gave it some thought, fell in love with it the next year, and it was basically I got put in the middle. Because they needed
it. So it wasn't your choice at all?
No.
Right.
No, not at all. And but you know what? I like to be the difference maker if I can be.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it's a team sport. But if I can do that extra little bit to make the difference, I want to be that person.
Right.
So I've worked a ton on the offense part of it, and I think it has definitely benefit me as a whole.
Right.
So that I'm more, well, I mean, you can play me on wing, you can play me at center. The defense just transitions over to the wing, so it's not like that's any different.
Right.
And then you, boom, got the offense part of it there. And I'm going to interrupt just slightly because sure. Everyone needs to hear that sweet sound of deliciousness.
And that's part of the gig here, coming on a show on the Tall Can Audio Network, that Amy may have had to take a brief time out from her training to enjoy what you just heard.
See, I made sure the workout was this morning.
That's right.
No enhancing. I'm not compromising anything here.
Much like the sugary cereal enthusiast that we are. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a vice, whether you're an athlete or not, right? Every time, everybody's got something that sometimes just calls out to you sometimes.
You right? can't cut it out completely. It's too hard.
So you're currently, as you mentioned, getting ready for Toronto, as you called it. The pair of Pan Am Games and the Pan Am Games are in Toronto this summer. I believe it's next week that the Pan Am Games start.
It's like Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be. The opening ceremonies are Friday, maybe. Cirque du Soleil in the opening ceremony.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, I'm kind of not. That holds no interest to me whatsoever. But, you know, good for them. That'll be... you were at the London ceremonies for the Paralympic Games when Coldplay played, were you not?
They were the closing ceremonies.
Right.
And because they have to stick the athletes all in the middle, the sound was horrible.
Okay.
You could hear nothing.
Really, eh?
It was bad. Like, yeah. It would have made more sense to buy a ticket and go sit up in the stands, and it would have been a million times better. It just sounded like just noise, like white noise.
Is that sort of thing typical for everyone knows in Olympic Games, opening and closing ceremony is a huge deal, all kinds of huge acts and different things going on. Coldplay is one of the biggest acts in the world. Is that typical from your experiences of what happens at a Paralympic Games or a pair of Pan Am Games, or was that kind of an outlier?
Quite frankly, I don't remember much about Beijing,
right?
Their closing or opening ceremonies. I think that was just from being young. I don't know.
Right.
But no, the whole Coldplay thing was kind of cool, and Rihanna made a guest appearance, so that was kind of, you know, that was all shush, shush. Everyone knew it was going to happen, but it was neat. It just would have been cooler if...
you could hear it.
You could hear it, yeah. I think I actually went to the washroom during Coldplay because it was just, like, unbelievably horrible.
Right.
The sound.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's... So, in training right now for the pair of Pan Am Games, is this... This would be the first time in your career that there's been any kind of major international competition in Canada. Is that right?
That is correct.
Right. So, you know, do you find yourself, I don't want to go into these cliched questions that we already kind of, obviously it'll be great to play at home in front of friends and family, or whatever. But does that sort of thing enter your mind when you're training, when you're preparing to, you know, this one might be extra special, or is it kind of business as usual? You put on your hard hat, lunchbox, and go to work?
And to not give the cliche answer, you know, wearing the maple leaf, huge honor.
Right.
And, you know, typical cliche answer right there.
Yeah.
But there's one phrase I always have to use if there's a day where you don't want to train, is my opponent is getting one day in more than me.
Right.
That is usually enough to, you know, a little kick in the ass to go do the workout. But the fact that my husband, my one-year-old son, my in-laws, a lot of my family's not able to make it because they are from out east, so it's too hard for them. But the fact that they are going to be there, the country can be there. Like
your friend across the table.
My friend.
Going to make the trip down to watch.
And I expect a good announcement, by the way. But no, it is an extra little fuel in the tank.
Yeah.
Because, one, you don't want to disappoint people to begin with.
Right.
Two, you don't want to disappoint your country. But to do that on home soil, that's embarrassing.
Right.
And, yeah, we don't want to embarrass anybody. So, it definitely is an extra little fuel in the tank. And, like, as cliche as it is, I am extremely pumped to go to Toronto in August, wear the maple leaf. I think we should be the home team for all the games because, I mean, quite frankly, we're in Canada.
Right.
But that's, you know, it's not my control, so I don't care. But it'll be good. It'll be probably the only time Canada ever hosts a game in my career.
Right.
So you go in with a bang.
Try and make it count.
And you leave with a fucking gold medal.
Right. Yeah. I guess the next thing that I wanted to kind of ask you about, and we're going to kind of circle around here on a few topics, but for people who don't know, and when I tell people to go look you up on Google or on YouTube, they may have a little more luck searching Amy Niebuhr.
As they may.
Yeah. Which is, of course, your maiden name. There are some female athletes out there who will either not change their name legally while they're still competing, or who will do it but will continue to compete under their maiden name just for the fact that that's what they've always been, or to make it easier for their fans to follow, or to keep statistics in line. Did it ever cross your mind to keep competing under your maiden name, or was it always, I'm married now, this is my last name, this is what I'm going to compete under?
I'm glad you asked that, because
I do what I can.
Yeah, well, you're good at it. Growing up with the last name Niebuhr is not easy.
Speaking of unique.
It is unique. I'd be called bonerish, like bonerific. Like, it was, and I believe boner came from you a lot of the times.
I hope not.
Rob.
That's, I can't possibly.
Hashtag fire Rob.
There you go. A lot of people getting that.
Clearly it needs to happen.
I guess so.
No, I'm kidding. I love the guy. He's good. You know what? A lot of the things I have to fill out has Niebuhr in brackets already for me. So it's kind of like people are doing the work for me. So, I couldn't wait to get rid of the last name Niebuhr. No offense to my family.
Right.
But it is horrible. growing up with that name is just bad. And Burke is very simple.
Right.
No one can spell it right because there's no E on the end. So it didn't matter whether I was a Niebuhr or a Burke. My name was never getting spelled properly. But full on. Ty proposed. Yes, I'm no longer a Niebuhr.
That was the only reason you married him, right?
Well, and come on.
Whoever was going to be the first one to ask you the question was probably getting a yes.
Depending on the last name. If it was a screwed up last name, no, next in line.
If it was Tyler Elbow, you might have moved on.
Yeah, probably. Asked him for a name change first.
Yeah. For you, it was never really a thought of, and I want to choose my words carefully here, which I'm not typically very good at. It was never a question of the feminist angle of it or, maintaining my own. It was just, I don't care for this particular name. I'm out of here. It's kind of the...
Well, yeah, basically. Because, I for a split second, I thought of hyphenating.
Right.
And, that only lasts a split second. I say, no, going all Burke.
Even in terms of just for competing, though, right? Obviously, legally, you were going to change your name or whatever, but just to compete under your old name, that didn't...
It did slightly, but a lot of things, if you go on the CPC thing, it'll have...
For people who don't know, the Canadian Paralympic Committee.
Yes, and the International Blind Sport Association.
Right.
A lot of their stuff, it has Niebuhr in brackets.
Right.
So I'm sure I'm... Actually, I can't say this 100%, but I would assume that if you were to search Amy Niebuhr,
right,
the new stuff would come up, but I don't really know. But
You don't search yourself all that often?
No, not that often.
Okay.
I did once, and I got three pages. It's pretty impressive.
Well, look at you.
I know. Might have really went for the ego there. Ego boost.
Just a couple of Yahoo forums talking about how much you're not any good.
She sucks! don't like her.
So we're kind of all over the map here, but that's because I jumped ahead to start and, needed to come back around. When you took your year off and you had your baby boy, Lucas.
Such a cutie.
Coming up almost a year ago now. What was the road back like? Was there ever a question? You kind of answered this already because you said you missed it or whatever. Once you had him and you were sitting at home with this little family now, did it ever cross your mind that you may not come back?
No.
No?
No. It was one of the things that crossed my mind was basically that if I am going to spend my time away from home with him, I'm going to make sure I'm putting in 110%.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to leave him at home. I mean, I basically just miss his naps anyway, so it's just free time for me. But leave him at home to go and half-ass it in the gym.
Right.
Not worth it.
Right.
So if I'm going to leave him at home, if I'm going to go away for a week at a tournament, I'm going to make sure it's worth it. And I'm going to make sure that I put everything into it. And you know what? Sport is a big part of our family. I mean, Ty played goalball. Both love hockey. I'm trying to get into the Jays. I don't know how many times I've tried.
We'll get you there.
I figure eventually. CFL, trying to get into the Red Blacks. Yeah. You're going to help me that do that too?
For sure.
But no, sport's a big part. So if he can see me do it, I mean, it's only going to, and I mean, obviously he doesn't understand it yet, but to just, it'll promote him, you know, show him that you got to be active. You can't just be a schlum on the couch.
Right, right. So how old would he have been when you took your first kind of extended time away from him? Like, how long into that would it have been? Because you had him in July last year.
Yeah. He came with us in October for that camp. So it was in December,
right.
July, August, September, October, November, December. So
he was almost 6 months
away. He's just turned 5 months actually.
Right. So how long were you gone?
It was just a weekend, like 3 days.
Was it as hard as everybody says it was or says it would be or things, you know, to be away that first time? Or are you able to compartmentalize and kind of focus on what it is you have to do?
To be honest, it was way easier than I expected. Like, way easier. I expected to, and you know, that was like the first time.
Lucas doesn't listen to this in the future.
I know, the poor boy. But that was the first time in 5 months I had a full night's sleep.
Right.
So, I mean, I can't go wrong here. But no, knowing the support I have at home.
Yeah.
Ty is awesome with him.
Right.
No worries whatsoever. Yeah, I missed him, but I got pictures and videos and whatnot. I was gone for 3 days.
Right.
And, I mean, it was super easy. Like, I've talked to other people, and they were like, I don't know how you do it. Right. It was like, well, I mean, I leave the boy at home and I go. That's it.
Yeah.
No questions about it. And, I mean, yeah, okay, if we're having a quiet time where nothing's going on. I wonder what he's doing. I bet he's screaming his face off and Tyler doesn't know what the hell to do with him, but no, it's not it.
Right. Right. It's interesting you say that because I know from talking to you in January, you were gone for almost a week, correct? Right. So about a month after that.
Yeah.
Finland
it was basically 7-8 days.
Was that any different or very much kind of the same? But what part, maybe I'll phrase it a little differently. What parts of the day maybe were the hardest, right? Like, oh, you'd be going down you'd be waking up from his nap right now and he'd want to play or are you able to kind of shut it off while you're supposed to be focused and competing? Like, does that ever drift in?
It basically only did when I went to bed.
Right.
Like, when I finally got to just sit down, unwind from the day. Never during a training session. Yeah, no, it's like, I don't know if it's just I'm not going to say a gift, but I'm going to say a gift.
Right.
If it's just like a gift that I have that, you know what, I'm here to do this. We got to get it done. What's home is at home. You leave it.
Right.
And I, you know, when I would get in bed and whatnot, it's kind of like, oh, I miss the little fella, even though he keeps me up half the night. But you can't help but miss him.
So you're kind of trying to compartmentalize your life, right? Whereas this time is for competition and this time is for family. Is it as easy to do in reverse? You come home from a bad tournament or are you able to leave that at the door so that that doesn't project onto him or do you find you're bringing work home? You know, if you're able to leave and at least turn off the focus on the family at the times that you have to, are you able to do that with your sport when you get home and are spending time with him and with Tyler?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's times where there's got to be the slight rant or whatever about whatever the hell's going on that doesn't make me happy. But, like, today, I came home from the gym today, Most of the time he's awake from his nap when I get home, and he comes flying to the front door, just like squealing. Maybe not squealing, but he's kind of yelling, ah! He's yelling whatever, and he comes like crawling run speed almost. And the smile on his face, like the look in his eyes, it's just, you can't help but be happy to see the kid.
Right.
So it's, you know, if I'm pissed off when I come in the house, you see that face and it's just gone.
Right. Really kind of paints this picture of priorities and what's important. And that's really interesting. Like, I think it's, for a lot of us, would be difficult just with such, you know, day-to-day minor things that get in your head or distract you or whatever, to think that you're trying to balance these two very major, very significant parts of your life and keep them separate from one another, and to be able to shut one off completely while you're supposed to be, you know, people don't know that the amount of time that amateur athletes put in, and the fact that they're sponsored in some cases by the government with karting and these sorts of things, like it almost is, it's a job, right? Like you're supported to go and expected to do these things to get ready to compete.
Sorry. Excuse me there. And I mean, a lot of it I think has to do with the support I get at home. Like, I know no matter what, Lucas is in good hands with Tyler. Like, no question about it. I'm not working right now. So yeah, that's basically like Canada pays me to go and train. So if they're going to invest the money into me and I'm going to spend my, you know, be away from my family, I got to give it all.
Right. So you've been all over the world here. Obviously USA, Mexico, Brazil, Turkey, Finland, Sweden, Korea, China. Am I missing anything major here?
England, of course,
the Paralympics. Yeah.
Different spots in England.
Right. Any favorites? Horror stories?
My favorite would have to be, you know, England I love because everyone speaks English.
Yeah.
And you cannot go wrong with people that speak English. I can walk into a restaurant, one, know what I'm ordering.
Yeah.
I can ask someone where the loo is. But if you take, like, England, I love London. London was amazing. I want to go back. We're going to do a family trip one time and just go back to London because there's so many things that I didn't get to see when we were there. And it was just the little that I saw while I was there, it was just amazing. But Sweden would have to be my favorite spot.
Yeah. Why?
Oh, the people are just so nice. Like Malmo. I've only been to Malmo, okay. Sweden. And one of these days when I go, I am going back to Denmark to do that brewery. Carlsberg?
Yeah,
because that's a delicious beer. And
for people who don't know, obviously Malmo, Sweden, at the very southern tip of Sweden, you know, closer to Copenhagen, Denmark than many parts of Sweden, but separated by the sea, right? So
just a quick little bridge ride.
Right.
Quick little train ride.
Right.
On a very long bridge.
So that was kind of, you know, many people just rave about Scandinavia and how nice it is and how great the people are and whatever. Any place you found particularly hard or challenging or were glad to be done when you were headed back? Or
Well, Turkey was a little interesting.
Turkey's a lovely bridge between the nice civilized part of Europe and the less civilized part of
Asia.
Yeah, that, you know, there's some shady stuff at one end and some great stuff at the other. And
yeah, we were in Antalya, which is like, I think it was, we were just outside of Antalya, which is like, I don't know, I can't remember, an hour flight from Istanbul.
Okay.
Can't remember. Yeah. But we were staying on a boat. It was a boat-shaped.
Like a cruise ship?
A cruise ship. It was called the Queen Elizabeth, well, I believe.
Weird.
I believe. Okay. I might be wrong.
Right.
But it was just a hotel shaped as a boat, like the big cruise ship. And the Wi-Fi was horrible. The food, which what, after day one, we were like, holy crow, this is amazing. But when you're served it for 11 days straight, it is not. We got screwed over majorly because we were there during a time change. But Antalya decided, because of the universities, they weren't going to change their time.
So like
that
daylight
day.
Savings kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
They decided they were going to do theirs the next day. Somehow you can just randomly decide, I'm not going to change our clocks an hour.
We'll get to it.
Wi-Fi was just horrible, if I didn't already say that.
Yeah.
I remember...
spoiled North Americans showing up.
Oh my God. And I mean, this has nothing to do with the country, but I remember my roommate and I, we stood in front of our door for probably 20 minutes with our key card, just sliding it in and out. In and out. And for all you dirty mind people out there, get rid of that. While the rest, two other teammates of ours, got to shower, and they open the door, and Jill and I are just still hanging out. Key card in, key card out. And I mean, that's not Turkey's problem, but I hate you, Turkey, because of that. And but you know what? Brazil, I found to be, and I mean, I hope to go there in 2016, so I don't want to diss Brazil too much. But the part of the city we were in was a little sketchy.
Right.
Yeah,
so that was Rio or
São Paulo.
São Paulo, okay.
Yeah, so I guess I'm not dissing on Rio,
right?
Which
is where the next Olympics, Paralympics are in summer 2016,
and we will be there.
Bad a girl, yeah.
So yeah, I guess I can diss on São Paulo. I remember having to go pee in like a dungeon-looking bathroom with no door, like just ugh.
So
come on,
concerning.
People, where's the privacy?
Seems to be less of a factor in other parts of the world. I know you've also visited countries where you just kind of stand over a hole and let fly. So.
Yes, I have done that several times in China.
Yeah.
I flooded my...
All of a sudden, a door doesn't seem like such a big deal. Give me a stool.
Where's the toilet seat?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just stand over this hole. Okay. Wow, my aim is bad.
Oh, dear. seems like, again, that might be your problem and not China's problem.
Yeah, well, again, I hate you, China, for it. No.
That was where your first Paralympics were. I know you've been back since. What was your takeaway like from being in Beijing? Because I know there was a ton of talk about during the Olympics, they were going to shut down all the factories and try and clear up the sky a little. And, you know, there was a lot of concerns going into the Beijing Games. You went a few weeks after the Olympics for the Paralympics. Was it still, you know, in pristine condition, everyone on their best behavior, or they pretty much resorted back to normal?
From what I remember, they did turn the factories back on in between the two events, and then they shut them off again for the Paralympics. And I think every day but one, might have been two, but I remember one day we were in a taxi and you couldn't even see the sun. Like, you could kind of see, like, it felt like it was 8 o'clock at night, but it's like 12 in the afternoon.
Right, okay.
So it's like that kind of daylight.
Just hazed right over.
Yeah, and I think we only had that one day, so the wind, I mean, must have been blowing in crazy, but there's sewer. Oh, my God. The wind just blows, and everyone loves to smell poo. Like, it was horrible. But no, I was... To be honest, I was slightly nervous going to China because of all that Tibetan protest stuff. And yeah, no, there was, I saw nothing. That
I
was alarming.
China was taking a bit of a fist first approach to crushing down that sort of stuff to make sure the outsider, the out of towners, right? The people coming in for the games weren't seeing it. Right?
Yeah. I would 100% believe that was the case. Like, if anything, I should have been more nervous going to Mexico in 2011 watching these guys walking around with these freaking machine guns.
Wow.
And standing in their cars or their jeeps while they're driving, like, with their guns.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of a little sketchy. Helicopters flying around. It was a...
What city were you in Mexico?
We were in Guadalajara.
Okay.
Which I learned after we got home that there was an article released that the cartel... Might not be, I don't know. Shouldn't blame the whole cartel. I don't know much about them.
Really, you're willing to blame entire countries for bad internet, but you won't blame the cartel?
Well, I mean, they might hear this and hunt me down. So, yeah.
I'd like to remind any cartels listening that Amy Burke is not an official member of the Tall Can Audio Network.
So please.
Leave
me out of this. No, but the fact that, like, I think it was 13 cars were lined up with, like, dead bodies all stocked. It was crazy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, Mexico is scary. I don't ever want to go back.
This is hardly a commercial for Tourism Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they didn't give us enough money to run anything good on their country.
So they, is that kind of the most, hindsight being what it is, maybe in danger is too strong of a word, but is that the most kind of exposed or feeling like this isn't a great place to be you've ever been in your travels or?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the fact that we'd get off our bus and we would have armed guards standing outside our venue waiting for us to come in. I remember talking to the Americans and they were telling us it's a bad day to be an American. Yeah. Like we had no issues. They were the ones that had to be worried. But it was, you see these guys just, and they had the, I mean, I don't know much about guns and stuff like that, but they had like the belts of bullets around them.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it was a little sketchy, like a little nerve wracking.
Right.
I didn't like getting off my bus half the time. Going venue. Yeah, no.
Just go and hide in your room until it was time to play.
Yeah, I went and hid with the internet.
Which apparently was great in Guadalajara.
Quite frank. No, it wasn't in our rooms, actually.
No.
No, I had to go find it.
Oh, times are tough, eh?
Why can't people be like Canada?
Wow.
Come on, we are awesome.
If you don't get to be flag bearer for one of these competitions with that kind of talk, I don't know what's going to get it done. So.
I know, we are an awesome country.
So, in terms of international play, you know, when you're out there representing Canada, do you have what you would call any big rivals or, you know, teams that, you know, top-end teams that you tend to do better against than other teams? Like, is it a kind of a matchup sport where a high-ranked team, maybe you're, you know, right there with you always seem to beat or vice versa? You know, is it kind of a matchup sport or is it usually whoever's ranked highest is probably going to win?
Well, like any sport, I mean, anything can happen,
right?
So let's just ignore that part. But you know what? Our rivals are the Americans.
Of course.
I know. Go figure.
Yeah.
And with them, it seems to be flip of a coin.
Right.
Who's got this game? Who is going to make that one mistake to fuck it up?
Right.
And over my years of play, I've learned to hate certain teams. I am not a fan of Team Sweden. Sorry, any Sweden listeners out there, as you are probably not a fan of me.
You already said that they're gorgeous, like their country's great. So, I mean, they gotta be.
That's true. Man, I'm calling your country gorgeous.
Yeah, we'll be 50-50 on this with Sweden.
So, I mean, yeah, sure.
Is it personalities or is it the type of game they play or how much they step up against? Like, what do you think it is?
You want to know why I hate them?
Sure.
2010 World Championships, bronze medal game.
Right.
They beat us. I don't like you anymore. Finland, I find, you watch the Finns play and you're like, holy crap, they're such a beatable team.
Right.
We get in against them. For some reason, we always tend to struggle against the Finns.
Right.
9 times out of 10, we come out on top.
Right.
And there's the odd time, you know.
Yeah.
But
so it sounds like hate based on respect.
Basically. Right?
Like, I don't hate each individual woman on that team.
Oh, God, no.
I hate the fact that this is what you do against us.
I hate the fact that you beat me.
Right.
Because I should be winning.
Right. Always.
I always win. No. But, you know what? And there's, you know, other than, I guess our only real rivalry team is the Americans. And I mean, they're a good team.
And is that just familiarity?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we played, like, we each know each other.
Yeah.
Like, and
you know what they're going to do. They know what you're going to do.
Exactly.
And who's going to execute best today.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And I mean, with us, they switch their team up. You know, they get different players in there. So it's kind of like, you know, maybe something's different.
Right.
But no, they are indeed our biggest rival. Which, I mean, any sport, Canada, USA.
Pretty much.
And you know what? And that always tends to be our best game.
Right.
And, you know, it's probably familial. I can't say the word.
familiarity?
Yes, we're not having a pronunciation lesson today, but yes, I cannot say that word.
Right. We did, a couple of days ago, spent some time with you and Tyler and Lucas on Canada Day, and you were showing off your world geography knowledge with...
Oh my God.
With areas like Guadalajara.
I love Guadalajara. Have you ever been?
It's on my list.
Nicaragua?
Yeah, that was the other one. I couldn't remember. Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no doubt you maybe have a future in international diplomacy.
Oh my God. People are going to want me.
Yeah. Talking about countries you hate and mispronouncing them. So.
When in doubt, it's all. Oh my God.
So you guys recently went through a coaching change. London 2012, you didn't come out with the results that you wanted. Your managing body, your inner, you know, the organization that oversees your team decided to make a change at coach. Did you agree with that decision? Are you happy with, you know, the decisions that have been made? Do things seem to be looking up? Should there have been more changes? You know, what's kind of your stance on this new direction that they've started?
Well, that was devastating.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have nightmares about it. Like, I'm still not over that quarterfinal loss. And it was just so stupid.
To one of those teams you mentioned above.
Finland!
Yeah.
Why I don't like them. Because it's just, we made the stupid mistake, and that's just what got it. But you know what? It's like in hockey. A team sucks. Boom, you go after the coach first.
Right.
Normally.
Whether it's their fault or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was a good change.
Yeah.
Change is good. You get a different perspective.
Right.
And these guys, they seem to know what they're talking about, not saying previous coach didn't.
Right.
But change is good. They came in clean slate, basically.
Right.
They had the year to look at everybody and be like, this is what our team needs to do to win. They are dedicated to getting this team on the podium in Toronto, qualified for Rio, and on the podium in Rio, and forever after.
So maybe a stupid question, because what's an athlete supposed to say? Do you feel like that's a realistic goal, a podium in Rio?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like I thought we were medal contenders in London. Mm-hmm. You know what? With the new direction they're going in, it's just they're trying new different lineups. They're trying to see what works for our team.
Right.
And that is something we never really had. They're trying different combinations. So it's what they're trying to find the best thing to make our team win.
Right.
And the athletes are behind them because they seem confident in what they're doing. And that's just it's a good system. Everyone needs to buy into the same goal, and it seems like that is what's happening. And I love it. Like, I love the fact that I don't know how many times we hear, "All right, guys, like this is it. We're going to work. We're going to do it, and we're going to get this team back to where it should be."
Right.
Because I mean, the world has to know. Canada missing the 2014 World Championships should never have happened. I mean, yeah, okay. You get to take you'll learn more from losing than you do winning. So in hindsight, okay, losing.
But I mean, unheard of, even as recently as maybe 2006, right? That this was very much, you mentioned hockey. It's still always Canada USA in a hockey women's final, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are other sports that are like that. Your sport, from what you've told me in the past, used to be like that.
You know? It did.
So has the rest of the world caught up that quickly, or have the two front runners, Canada, USA, kind of taken their foot off the pedal and allowed that to become a more competitive environment?
I would say that the foot has been taken off the pedal and has allowed other countries to catch up.
Wow, yeah. And I mean...
As much as it sucks to say,
yeah,
I strongly believe that's what it is.
So, in theory, does that mean pedal back down in those two countries and the gap gets widened again? Or is the damage done and those countries are now there and they're in it?
You know, I think those countries are in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, who are the other kind of big three or four outside of Canada?
You got China.
Yeah.
You got Israel.
Yeah.
Israel has made a huge move in the last few years.
Yeah.
Their team is young and they are getting better and better every year. Russia.
Right.
Another full of like early 20s.
Speaking of teams that historically rival with Canada.
Yeah. And you know what? We had a good following with them in Turkey in 2011.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sure, you can kind of maybe count them as a rival now, too.
All right.
We haven't beat them since then, but we beat them when it mattered.
Okay.
Sure, controversy call, yeah, blah,
Did
blah, blah,
blah.
They won silver at Worlds.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're a little better than us. In 2014.
Right.
Not 2015 and beyond.
Right.
But another good team. Japan, their defensive team.
Right.
I mean, you just got to learn how to score on those little Hello Kitty dolls. That's what they sound like, those little Hello Kitty pouncing. Oh my gosh, they're so cute to watch.
That's an adorable way to describe a women's national team.
Oh, Hello Kitty dolls!
Yeah. That's just precious.
So cute.
Yeah.
They are so cute.
So you've talked about this new direction. You've talked about your passion for being a center and contributing both offensively and defensively, and mentioned that you maybe moved to the wing here in Toronto. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited to try something new.
Right.
Wing ultimately is, you know, it's a whole other game from a center. Center, you're basically focused in on the defense part of it, throw here and there. Center, you're just down, up, down, up, down, up, blah. Or winger, sorry. But I am excited. I'm excited to see if I can contribute offensively as what I think I can.
Right.
And if that's what it takes to get our team qualified for Rio, then by all means, play me on the wing. I mean, and it would be nice to have our younger centers coming up and taking that spot. Assuming I'm on wing. I mean, if I'm getting schlubbed to the bench there, then.
That's funny to hear you talk about younger wingers as a 25-year-old player yourself. Like, or younger centers, I mean. You know, when we talked about you going to Sao Paulo in 2005, 15 years old and already playing for Team Canada, right? Like, got 10 years on that body already, right? Like,
yeah, and that body's hurting.
You know, so you're prepared to kind of make that move if it benefits the team, kind of thing. If
yeah.
you're okay to do that.
I'm invested for the long run.
Right.
I mean, it's I want a Paralympic medal.
Right.
Ultimately, I want a gold Paralympic medal.
Yeah.
And whatever it takes to get that medal, I am going to support, I'm going to get behind, because, I mean, I didn't know what to do after London. Like, I seriously thought about not playing anymore, because London sucked, because we were a medal threat, didn't medal, finished fifth.
Right.
Like, when you're expected on the podium, okay, fifth, woohoo!
Yeah.
Like, we finished fifth in China in 2008. There's eight teams, so fifth of eight. Okay, London, fifth of 10. So, technically, our team got worse. Technically. It's how I look at it anyway. But anyway, London was, it was devastating. Like, I don't think I talked to anybody at home for, like, the first day or two after we lost that medal. Or quarterfinal, sorry. And it was just, so whatever I can do to help this team reach the podium for 2016,
yeah.
I'm invested in.
So did you, you know, was it just kind of a brief moment of disappointment, makes it sound like too small, but of grief, of whatever, or did you seriously come home and consider hanging it up and that, you know, I gave my best shot and we didn't get it done?
Well, you know, I can remember it as if it was yesterday. Like, that goal went in, and there's even videos of me, and I just did the head drop into my hand. And I'm under eye shades, but I can picture it as the video is showing. And, like, it was so hard to believe that we lost that game. And I remember going, When you leave the court, they have the whole media there ready to interview athletes, and I just walked right by it.
Right.
And normally I was stopped before going back to our change room, giving, you know, quote, whatever, for like Samsung, just London 2012.
And right, let's not try to, you're big news in Charlottetown.
Oh my God.
During the, you can go back still and Google, you know, Amy Kneebone from the Charlottetown newspaper. There's an article every day on how Team Canada's women's goalball team.
The Guardian loves me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love them. I remember doing an interview with Bruce Rainey. CBC yeah, Bruce Rainey, but because CTV had the media rights,
yes,
they couldn't show it.
Not really, eh?
Yeah, it was kind of, they were pissed. I even went off, no, it's because we did it in the village.
Right.
So I went and did an off-site interview with CBC.
Right.
Later in the week, but yeah, I remember just walking straight past the media line, right into our change room, and I just yelled. Like, I cursed, and I was pissed and mad. Like, I was just...
This is 4 years of work, right? People don't understand. It's not that year leading up. It's 4 years to get there.
Yeah.
It's a long road.
And it just, like, I walked into that change room, and all I said is, I guess I'm fucking playing for 4 more years.
Right.
And I mean, but really, is that bad? Like, no, I love playing for my country.
Right.
I love just thinking about it, the goosebumps you get when your anthem is playing.
Right.
Like, it's just, oh, as cliche as it is, amazing.
Well, it's funny because we've talked about trying to avoid cliches and this and that. They're cliches for a reason, right?
Exactly.
Because they're usually correct.
Usually... And I mean, it is just the thought of like your anthem playing on the top of the podium. Like, it brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's amazing. So it was that day in that change room, like within seconds of walking in, I decided right there that I am for sure playing for 4 more years because I haven't met my goal yet. But then when I came home, I did sit back and I thought, do I want to put my time and effort and everything into it for 4 more years to be disappointed?
Yeah, to possibly go through that feeling again.
Exactly, because that's a horrible feeling.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go through it again. And I mean, it's going to be hell if we qualify for, like, when we qualify for Rio. And if that's to happen again, like, I don't think I could go 4 more years.
So is that a motivator to you? To make sure, you know, you didn't have that before. When you played in 08 at Beijing, you were...
I was a sponge.
Yeah, just taking in information. You're a young player. You're not a contributor really yet. By the time you got to London, you're carrying the ball. You know, is the knowledge of that feeling something that motivates you to be able to avoid it again? Or is it still kind of, I have to keep this same approach? I have to, you know, you can't think about that. You know, how do you use that sort of moment?
Well, it's just that feeling was horrible. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't wish it upon, well, I do wish it upon my worst enemy because I want to beat you.
You wish it upon Finland who beat you that day.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They should have felt it.
They should have. Like, they should have. But you know what? It is. It's, I don't want to have that feeling. I don't want to lose. I'm tired of losing. I don't want to feel that way again. So it's just the, like, yeah. I mean, I want to go into Rio, Toronto, and just fucking hammer it down and make sure that we are on the top of that podium so I don't have to feel that way again. Right. Or, I mean, different roles of the players on our team, I don't want them to have that feeling.
Right.
To, like, I was the one that, it's a team sport, but I was the one that let in that goal in London in that quarterfinal.
Right.
I was out of position for probably a split second. And
that's all it takes sometimes.
That's all it takes. And it was just a quick tip off my foot. And I saw a picture of our left winger, Whitney, was just like diving for it. I was behind her reaching and Nancy was running over. Like, it's all just, everyone's going for that ball. But ultimately, I was the one that fucked up.
Right.
And I don't wish that feeling on any other teammate because it was bad. And I mean, I know everyone was just upset. Like, everyone was hurting after that
day. Of course,
yeah. But I don't ever, like, I don't want anyone to ever feel that way again, especially from my mistake. Like, that was just what hurt me. I think that's what really hurt me the most was the fact that I was the one that fucked it up.
Right.
And yeah, it's a team sport. You take wins as a team, you take losses as a team, but I took that one personally.
Right.
Because, you know, if I was in the proper positioning for a millisecond quicker, it probably wouldn't have happened.
Man.
So it's like, you know, you just, you relive it, but you got to get over it.
Yeah.
You learn from your mistakes. Okay. You got to be quicker. And yeah, so it is motivation to try and work harder. Know that you want it. Like, I don't want to feel that way again. And like I said, I don't want any of our teammates to ever have to go through that again.
So you've got, assuming things go well in Toronto, which for people for people who aren't aware, is an opportunity for Canada to qualify for the Paralympic Games next year in Rio. You've got about 13 to 14 months, of preparation for that. To kind of circle back to the idea of balancing a family and a son that at that point will be 2 years old, be talking a little more, be more aware.
Oh man, don't age him yet. You're making time go by so fast.
You know, do you expect to be on the road more than you have been in your first year back? Do you expect that to be able to maintain that ability to separate as he continues to get a little older?
Developing more milestones.
Yeah.
Like becoming his own person.
Yeah. They start to get a little personality to them.
And it's so cute. You know what? I haven't actually thought about it, but now that you have said that, it's like, oh my gosh. Like he turns one this week and I can't believe it that he turns one. And I hope not for our team's sake that we are gone more next year, because we need to do more.
Yeah. More games.
Exactly.
More travel, more competition.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we need to do more. And I know there will be things that I will miss and it is going to suck.
Yeah.
But I hound on Tyler nonstop when I'm away that I want him to recording everything. So, you know, if I can't see it firsthandedly, hopefully, he hasn't said mama to me yet. And he said it so much while I was in Korea. I get home and he just looks at me and laughs.
It's like he knows.
He knows. Yeah. I'm not going to say it for you. I will say da, 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 but I will not say mama, mama, which mama is awesome. Just say it. I looked at him swore and Lucas, say mama. Yeah. Va, 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 va. It's like, you little bugger. But no, like I know I'm going to miss huge parts of his milestones, like next year. Like he's going to be like you said, they develop personalities.
Yeah.
He's going to be his own little man.
Yeah.
And it's going to be harder being away, but I've had such it's been so easy so far that I'm hoping next year is just as easy. And I am hoping that we are away more than we were this year, because you're right, we do need more games. Because it is very hard in the sport to actually get competitive games to play.
Right.
And it's a lot of just training and training and training. And really, you need the gameplay in order to get better. So, yeah, I do hope we travel more. But, I mean, I'll knock Tyler out if he doesn't start taking videos for me. So if he's listening to this, take this as your first warning, buddy.
To kind of bring it back full circle, you're mentioning again, you know, this terrific support that you have at home. And is that, you wonder how many, it's so different, right? Men's and women's sports for this reason. If you want to have, a guy's got to kind of do his thing for one night and then he's free to get on the road again, right? It's the woman that's going to be left. If you want to be an athlete, she's got to carry it for 9 months. What kind of impact is that going to have on the body?
Oh my gosh.
These sorts of things. Like you had not a whole lot of time in between, getting back into competition and having had Lucas, right? Like it had to have been a hell of an impact on the body to start to build your fitness back up and your strength back up. And
I had Lucas in July.
Yeah.
I started training in September.
Right.
Like I took the 2 months off, waited for some things to heal, blah, blah, blah. Apparently things move a lot while you're pregnant. And I got to make room for that little alien growing inside you. But training seemed okay. I did my first goal ball practice, and I swear to God, it looked like I never played the sport before. I remember doing just a warm-up drill that we do, and I had to take my eye shades off because my court orientation was so bad that the coaching staff, I think, were having a field day watching me. Like, they probably could have grabbed a bag of popcorn, sat there, and had their own entertainment while watching me. Like, it was horrible. I felt like a knob, and I'm pretty sure my uterus fell out on the floor. Like, it was bad.
I'd like to say that's probably, we've had a lot of things on this show. Probably the first time we've heard the word uterus on the show.
And they do fall out. Oh my God, it was horrible. Horrible. And then, I mean, the whole strain on the body, I ended up straining my hip adductor. So then that was a little bit of a setback for like 2 months. So not only am I trying to get my body back into athlete shape, I now have to balance the hip adductor injury.
Right.
So it's just like, what the hell? Like, was this really worth it?
Right.
But I mean, he's so
cute.
Could
be sitting at home having a nap with him.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like,
has he, obviously too young to understand what's up? Will he be in Toronto? Has he seen you play? Right. Has he made any of these trips to your competitions?
He came to our Montreal tournament in January, and I think he slept through most of our games. He'd like wake up near the end or something like that. He was in Toronto where we had our national championships in April, and that is like, I remember Tyler having to take him out of the gym during our gold medal game because he was screaming or something. And he was trying to put him to sleep or something, but they were upstairs like watching out the window. But he got to witness the Trilliums win gold.
Does he, you know, you've talked about being able to separate one from the other. When you can hear his voice, does it make it a little tougher to separate at that point, or?
Yeah, I will. I think we were playing Alberta in our semifinal. No, it might have been Quebec in our round robin game.
Right.
And I mean, that was shit show. I think it was like 15-8 or 15-6 final for us. But Ty walks in and you just hear a wicked squeal. And I remember playing, I was on wing, and I kind of just laughed. Because it was like, oh my gosh, he's just so cute. And I kind of yelled out, hey, buddy. So, I mean, I probably shouldn't have, but it's like, hey, buddy, I'm right here. And, I mean, he loves me, so it's not like he's probably trying to climb away from Tyler.
Yeah.
Good thing he couldn't crawl at that time. But, you know what? Even though he doesn't understand, having him in Toronto and having him come to future tournaments when he...
So he will be at... you're talking now about Toronto in August for the pair.
He will be in Toronto in August. Right. And, I mean, assuming he's not flailing up a storm where the grandparents need to take him out of the gym or dad needs to go run and take him out of the gym, maybe he'll just sleep through it all anyway. he has no idea what's going on, but it is cool to see, like, both family and sport come together. Like, it's a bit of a tearjerker. Like, it's cute. And, I mean, once he understands, it'll be even cooler. Like, this is why mom's away for a week at a time. This is why dad keeps putting me to bed, and it's not the one I really want, but...
Oh, nice. I get so much support at home, but I'm throwing him under the bus.
Let's face it.
He's second fiddle, eh?
He loves me. Loves me.
So, last question then, before we kind of start to wrap this up. What do you think is, you know, you said after London, you hadn't reached your goal, and so you knew you were in for another 4 years. Have you made any kind of decisions or had any kind of thoughts on what happens post-Rio?
No.
No.
No. It's straight up, Rio's my goal. My goal is to make it on that podium. Whatever happens after happens.
Right.
But right now, focus is on Rio. You look long-term past Rio, good chance you're going to screw up somewhere.
Right.
So, I mean, let's focus on the time in the present to get the training done for Rio and to get this team on the podium where it truly does belong.
Well said.
Yeah.
I'd like to think my little contribution to your career has been the introduction of a certain band that goes on your playlist for some of your runs or some of your, that we're going to go see in a week or two.
Oh, the Tragically Hip. You know what song
I
love?
I'm taking full credit for introducing you to that band.
Considering it cost me $40 one night.
We may have, well, it was off season.
It was off season. Yeah. It was end of June.
Yeah, so it was 4 a.m. or whatever, and you're sitting there buying up a storm on your iPad iTunes account. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure I
managed to get you to buy basically the entire Tragically Hip discography.
Yeah, I am confident. I'm pretty sure it was $40 that night on Tragically Hip songs. But Grace 2.
Great tune.
By far, that is the one hip song I do not skip when I'm doing a workout.
Probably the one that they'll open with when we go see them here in a week or so.
They say I'm Tragically Hip. Come on now, let's go.
So every now and then I get a little text message that says such and such by the Hip came up. Thumbs up or thanks or whatever, right? So I'll take a tiny little smidge of the credit for giving you something to listen to on the treadmill or while you're out for your runs.
Well, and hey, if the Hip can't do it, at least the Tall Can Audio Network does
it. Hey, well done. So that's pretty much going to wrap it up from here. Hopefully you'd consider coming back and doing this again, maybe even during the games. Let us know what's going on in Toronto. We can maybe link you in by Skype or something.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. I mean, thank you.
You probably won't be able to have the little sound, during the games. But
yeah, no, I'll open a Gatorade.
Okay. How's that sound? We'll allow that.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have to put the harp on hold and open. Oh, Powerade. Sorry. Powerade's a sponsor. It'll have to be
is that
Powerade.
The case, eh?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. But no, thank you. I mean, everyone knows I love to talk.
It's true. We do all know.
So, I mean, if you want me to come back, hopefully there's no hashtags. Get rid of Amy.
Fire Amy.
Fire Amy. Yeah. Bring back Rob.
Fire boner.
Bring back the boner.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man. I hope that's a hashtag.
We better wrap this up before it gets out of control. Thanks for doing the show, Amy.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.